Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 3rd of October, recording at 9:34 p.m., still British summer time. Well, let's see. First, the highlights. A number of stock markets that have been in form all along just continue to push higher. Those curves are steepening, some acceleration taking place. This is a mature move. In government bonds, U.S. Treasuries broke down beneath their August lows in here today in continued top formation development. Those need to be watched. In currencies, well, this dollar index, okay, it's 57% weighted in favor of the euro, which is a suspect currency once again. But that dollar index is testing the psychological resistance up near 90 once again. Precious metals caught a bit of dollar jitters in here today, down a little bit on the day. And natural gas, firmest of the petroleum and petroleum type of offshoot contracts, clearly undergoing a re-rating, as I think Owen's mentioned a number of times. Okay, let's go back to the global stock markets. Well, they're bubbling along nicely. The foolish thing to do at this stage, and I don't think many of you would be tempted into this, would be to feel that risks were declining, that with every new high that we see in an upward trend, every time they shrug off what appears to be, well, not necessarily appears to be, but what is a minor downward dynamic or a loss of momentum, and reaffirm the overall upward uptrends that the potential on the upside is increasing rather than decreasing. It's understandable that people tend to feel that way, and while I certainly favor running these trends, as I said pre-summer and during the summer and onwards, run them, I repeated that comment about make hay while the sun shines, and that's still the case in these markets, but the risks can only be rising as these trends push higher, particularly when some of the better ones are not only pushing higher, but accelerating higher. Every new high has to take us closer to the next significant peak. Now, I had in the opening lead item today, in today's comment, I discussed this and said, just focus on those rising lows. As long as the progression of rising lows are maintained by the leading indices, then we don't need to worry that much. We also need to keep a close eye on the Wall Street indices, because really, with the exception of utilities, they've been ranging for the most part this year. And I'm talking about the major ones now. And that is not such a hot picture. They did bounce from those August lows. It was only the NASDAQ comp that actually broke beneath those for a few days, but not by very much. And then it registered a downside failure. All the others bounced from the August lows, which I had described as potentially quite important, but the leash is being stretched on the upside. And without Wall Street, well, if Wall Street remains steady, they can go on and run a bit further, but there are limits to all these things. What global stock markets really need to see is Wall Street break up out of these trading ranges. And I'm talking about the Dow, the S&P, and the two NASDAQ indices. The best that can be said, and it's not that bad, is that they are currently trading at the higher side of this year's ranges. Were they to go below the lower side of those August ranges, let alone test the lower side of this year's ranges, the risk of downdrafts for some of the runaway uptrends would be considerably increased. Okay, but that hasn't happened yet, so it's still go on the upside. Now, what actually happened in here today? Well, I mentioned leaders continuing to lead, and you'll see some of those charts among the 30 that I posted in here today. Wall Street down a little bit, 33 on the Dow, 2 on the S&P. Interestingly, the Nasdaq, which is so often a leader, was actually up a bit on the day, 3.74 points on the composite Nasdaq composite index. Now, let's move on to the US Treasury bonds, breaking the August low, as I mentioned, first to repair that minor damage within what's a long extending top formation, as I've been maintaining since the peak that we saw in June 2003. To repair this minor damage, they would need to get a clear upward dynamic and signal a failed break beneath those August lows. Anything's possible in here, especially when you have a ranging pattern, but I certainly wouldn't bet on it. More importantly, if they fall from this level around 114 down to around 110, which is an area of some important previous lows in the last year or so, that could really jangle nerves in stock markets. Other things to worry about as far as the stock markets are concerned, I mentioned several of them in today's comment. Let's see if I can recall them. The oil price would certainly be one. I've just mentioned the bonds. Rising short-term interest rates would clearly be another factor. I think there's one more that I mentioned, but I can't recall it at the moment. Now, looking at the currency markets, the firmness of the dollar that we've seen here in the last 5 weeks has understandably emboldened those who have moved back into a dollar long positions into believing that we are capable of seeing a significant upward break here. And I posted charts of that US dollar index here today for you to have a look at those. Now, and of course they are in the chart library, although I use Bloomberg's today because the chart library currencies don't get updated until a little later on in the day. They pick up some of the after-hours trading. Now, certainly couldn't rule out further dollar strength at this stage. Best if I just play it close to the cuff. Keep an eye on the charts, and I've said in the comment that we need to see a downward dynamic here by the US dollar index, and that would be an upward dynamic by the euro against the US dollar to indicate or to reaffirm resistance at these current levels. For the greenback, until I see it, I think it would be imprudent not to give the upside the benefit of the doubt, although I really don't expect all that much more, and I wouldn't be surprised to say to see a downward dynamic fairly quickly. In other words, I think that the dollar's rally is of a relatively short term, at best medium term nature. At that overall, you know my longer term view that the dollar commenced a bottoming out process in January last year, December and January, and that those lows will eventually be retested and probably broken, but not by all that much. In terms of currencies, the two trades that I have been mentioning in recent weeks really are the Canadian dollar. Well, that's the currency as far as I'm concerned right now. That is really the in-form currency. It's appreciating against everything but gold, where it's in a relatively tight trading range. And I still hold that dollar yen, which has the best interest rate differential. That's why I picked that one up. I wish that I'd picked up the Canadian dollar against the euro, which I also talked about doing and may still do at some point, but I'd prefer to see a bit of a euro rally, which may not actually occur. In the commodity markets, the risk here for precious metals, and I certainly have some significant precious metals positions. They were reduced a bit by stops being hit in two-thirds of my, or was it, I think it was three-quarters of my palladium positions, and also a stop hit a small, did I mention, did I say palladium before? Sorry. Stops hit in three-quarters of my platinum positions, and the stop was also hit in my small palladium position. But I've got a lot of gold, and I've got even more silver. And there is a risk here, although they've held up very well, actually appreciated against the background of this 5 week US dollar rally. I don't hold the view that that dollar gold link has been broken beyond the short term. I think gold is likely to go on appreciating over the medium to longer term against all currencies. Yes, all currencies. But if we were to see a dollar breakout on the upside against the euro on the dollar index, extending gains against the yen, I think there's a chance that we could see some jitters in precious metals, which are consolidating some of their recent strong gains. But whatever, I'd almost certainly ride that out since they've been in quite good form in here recently. As far as silver is concerned, I've got lots of little buy orders, baby step buy orders beneath the market, and some baby step sell orders above the market. And I just would welcome continued volatility in silver. Remember, we went through a long patch, most of the first and second quarters of the year, and good portion of the third quarter of this year, when we just saw very little volatility. That works against me in terms of holding a long position. And I also had the dollar headwind, but as recent weeks have shown, one can recover very, very quickly indeed, and defray contango costs and harvest some of that range trading when the volatility picks up once again, as we've seen recently, and long may it last. And I think it will. To me, it's only a matter of times, a matter of time, and I'm thinking really in terms of weeks or at most a few months before gold rechallenges that $8 level, and then the chart pattern is going to look awfully impressive in terms of at least another $2 on the upside. So I continue to look to silver as one of my core money-making instruments here over the short, medium, and longer term. It's high beta gold. What else to mention in here? Oil. I touched on natural gas briefly, saying that's where the real relative strength is occurring, and that's where the re-rating is occurring. And natural gas not only has a growing market in terms of household and industrial uses, but natural gas is used in fertilizers. It's used to heat up the tar sands, to extract unconventional oil. It's got all kinds of different uses. It's even used by Sasoil to make diesel. So this is something that, remember, they used to flare off not that many years ago. In other words, just burn the stuff off, and now has a growing market. So natural gas, if there's any one of the petroleum-rated contracts that's going to do exceptionally well over the next 10 years, and I think they're all going to do well, but the top performer, I think, is very much likely to be natural gas. And that's something that every time we get a setback, I pop in and a setback of any consequence, I pop in and pick some of it up. Okay, I think that's pretty much it, except to say the grains, grain and bean complex, they had been very weak. Wheat has been the firmest recently. The others look stretched on the downside, and we could see some fairly brisk short covering rallies. All the best.